views expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, staff, or management. The following paid program is sponsored by Azorian. Wondering who's in your cyberspace? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Charles Tendell Show, the show where you can learn how to protect your online business and personal information. Charles Tendell is a cybersecurity consultant and ethical hacker, and he's here to answer all of your cyber concerns.
Heads up, everybody. It's Peter Boyles. It's 5 p.m. Get ready for Hacked. You got problems with computers, kids are being bullied, somebody's messing with you. How about dating online? Charles Tendell forgot more about computers than most people know. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Charles.
What is going on, internet people? Oh, I'm not sure if you guys can hear me or not, but I'm hoping you can. Are we having technical difficulties, Donnie?
No, man, you're on.
Oh, right on. Cool, because I was having trouble hearing myself.
Oh, but the lady dropped.
No! So we are having technical difficulties, dial tones and all kinds of funny stuff. But anyway, welcome to Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. If you got questions, apparently the phone lines are indeed open. 303-632-4160. Number again, 303-632-4160, or you can go over to thecharlestendellshow.com and get involved in the conversation. Or if you're over on the Facebook page, hello, Facebook listeners, people on Facebook, people watching, people enjoying the show, at least my half of the conversation. I'm going to fix that technology. Down below you is a comment section. Use it, because today's show is going to be kind of an interesting one. So, there's a lot that you guys may or may not know about me. I am a father, and I have beautiful little girls. I have four beautiful little girls, and they are amazing. You know, so they are, you know, my pride and joy. My son is the prince, but my girls are always going to be near and dear to my heart because they're daddy's little girl. And I bring this up because this is a sensitive kind of subject, and it adds some light to kind of the problems in this country's legal system, at least in my opinion, the problems in this country's legal system. And what I'm talking about is a 20-year-old kid in college at Stanford University recently got convicted of rape, right? He got convicted of, let's see, assault.
3 counts of sexual assault.
Oh, hi, Megan. Hold on a second.
Sorry. 3 counts of felonious sexual assault.
3 counts, and that's my guess, Megan Barth. She's from ReaganBaby.com, and she's hi. Anxious to get involved, so it's going to be a good one.
I thought I'd help you out.
Thank you.
I don't know if I'm anxious or not.
Save. But he got convicted of 3 counts of felony assault, rape, and battery, to the point where this young man actually, the only reason he stopped or was caught or was captured and brought to justice, at least, kind of, sort of, was guys on campus came to this young woman's rescue, but he got convicted. A jury of his peers found him guilty, and the judge sentenced him to 6 months in the county jail. 6 months in the county jail. And it looks like, according to KTLA, he's going to get out in 3 months. And joining me on the show is, like I said, Megan Barth from ReaganBaby.com. Megan, wow. Welcome Hi. Back, first and foremost.
Thank you for having me back.
Not a problem.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No worries. It's been okay. An eventful week. It's been a good couple of shows, and it's Friday, so I'm okay, with the exception of Brock Turner and what's going on here. That's kind of scary to me. So what do you understand about this Stanford University thing?
Well, I understand as much has been, you know, released in the media, and I haven't followed the case closely as far as watched it on TV and really paid an enormous amount of attention to it. But I did study up, of course, for our call today because I wanted to see if there was anything I was missing, and, you know, just for my own due diligence, because I'm always a little bit, as you know, a little bit leery of the press and what's reported in the headlines. And, you know, I'm also leery because, you know, the problem with the sexual violence campaign that's going on across college campuses. And two of them have been proven to be national hoaxes. And so with that, and the two that I'm referring to are the supposed rapes of Jane Doe that occurred and was proven to be false and got Rolling Stone in trouble at the UVA. And I write about that called The Cavalier Rape of a Fraternity, whereby a whole slew of fraternity men were falsely accused of rape. And then there was the infamous Columbia case where a gal had walked around with a mattress actually on her back and walked around all over campus saying that she was raped, and it turned out that she was not. And so because of those incidents, you know, the false cries of rape, I really wanted to look into this one. And what I found was extraordinarily disturbing. And it wasn't disturbing because it was a hoax. It was disturbing because of the judge's actions and this kid's actions, mm-hmm. this perpetrator, this male, who was a swimming star. And he had met this gal at a party. I guess it was somewhat of a college party. I don't know if it was a frat party. And she had attended the party with her sister. She had drank way too much. She had, from what I understand, at least agreed to leave with him. And as they were leaving the party, she was so intoxicated that she ended up falling down with him onto the ground. And instead of him picking her up and helping her get back on her feet, what he decided and intentionally did was proceed to rape her. And I don't know that, and I didn't find any support that it was penile penetration, but he did penetrate her with his fingers, and he did abuse her, and he did, and I believe he would have penetrated her if it wasn't for two kids on two bicycles that were driving by or bicycling by and saw this going on. And literally, when he was found out, he jumped off of her and started running for his dear life.
Now, that's
I just don't understand. You know, granted, they were both drunk, but this mentality that this kid has taken zero responsibility for violating her. He simply blames it on the alcohol and calls it sexual promiscuity.
Well, I mean, it's also the environment that they're in a lot, because they do have this idea. It's college, you're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But there are parts of that I didn't realize had happened, that they were at a party together. They were both drunk. They left together. And, you know, it is that's old cliche of one thing led to another. But we're up against a break, Megan. So let's hang out and talk and have a conversation about this. Don't go anywhere. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690 AM. My guest, Megan Barth, about Stanford student getting 6 months, getting ready to get out for rape. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Are you guys all clear?
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Can do for your financial future.
If you continue to spend like a drunken sailor, you're going to run out of money. That's the reality. This is not poker. This is your financial future.
It's helpful financial food for thought on your drive home with a host who tells it like it is. Market Wrap with Mo Ansari.
Weeknights at 6 on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Does your kitchen or bathroom need some updating? Well, now is a great time to get started. I'm Ted Spear, co-owner of All About Cabinets and Countertops at 35th and Wadsworth. And I'm inviting you to join our growing list of customers who have saved thousands of dollars on their kitchen and bathroom projects, even over those big box stores. Come experience our unique mix of top-of-the-line customer service, quality products, and tremendous value. Through July 4th, we are extending all our current specials and upgrades, which will save you up to $1,500 on your cabinet and countertop purchases. Plus, as an additional bonus, we are upgrading all our cabinet doors to the latest in anti-slam technology for free. These are just a couple of the ways you can complete your project for less than you ever thought possible. Let us go to work for you. You can visit our showroom or call us today, 303-456-6400. That's 303-456-6400. Also, to view all our current specials, visit our website at allaboutgreatdeals.com. Make a difference without the expense with All About Cabinets and Countertops.
Want a heavy-duty American-made vacuum that makes the others look like they? Come to All Ray's Vacuum and Sewing, where service and quality still count. All Ray's Vacuum is the oldest vacuum location in town for over 35 years, with over 200 makes and models on display and over 10,000 bags, belts, and parts in stock. You'll be sure to find what you need. So visit All Ray's for all your vacuum and sewing machine needs at 3740 South Broadway, just south of Hamden, or visit them online at allraysvacuum.com.
We now return to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Given the conversation, I don't know if that's an appropriate song. Welcome back. This is the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. I'm talking to Megan Barth about the Stanford student who got away with rape, essentially. And it's turning into some interesting stuff. And for my tech listeners out there, I know this is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM, and so on. And I apologize. I know it's a tech show, but I will get you guys back because this is a subject I had to actually cover. This is something I wanted to get a better understanding on it. So, and Megan, like I said before the break, we had you gave me some additional information. They were at a party together. There wasn't, or it's not known, at least not to us, to you and I, whether or not he actually penetrated her, but he still physically assaulted her.
Mm-hmm.
Even with that lesser thing going on, he gets this 6 month charge from the judge. He gets this 6 months sentence, and now it looks like the 6 month sentence is going to get reduced to 3 months, and he's going to get out, and he's not really going to have served consequences for this. So I've actually got a criminal defense attorney from California on the line who believes, or at least from what I understand, might have some other information to shine on this. And his name is Adam. And Adam, I apologize, I'm going to butcher your name, Sostrin.
Sostrin, you have it right.
Right on. Well, Adam, welcome to the Charles Tendell Show, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. So you're coming in after the break here. We've been talking about this case in Stanford, the three felonious counts of rape or sexual assault. Two people were intoxicated, two people doing whatever. Guy gets caught trying to assault this girl, goes to court, gets arrested, gets detained, goes through the jury process. The jury finds him guilty, and the judge hands down a 6 month sentence. What say you?
Well, I know how it appears in, you know, to the public, and obviously the crimes that were committed were definitely heinous and awful, and there's no excusing them. And the court looks at a few things when it makes its determination. Not only does it look at the statement from, the victim impact statement, which we're all pretty aware of, but it also looks at statements from friends and family of the defendant, and it also looks at probation reports, and it also looks at whether or not you can look at if the defendant was intoxicated or not when the occurrence happened. And it's my understanding that there was a recommendation in a probation report for no prison time, and of course the defendant's going to be, and I think people have been talking about this
throughout the day.
He's going to be a registered.
Yeah, he's going to be a registered sex offender. Yeah, that makes his life very difficult because he can't live near a school or anything like that. But this 20-year-old kid gets away with raping a person. Okay, I have young girls, so I have a personal opinion about all of this. But I also spent nearly 20 years doing computer forensics and e-discovery and electronic investigations on cases like this. And I'm very aware of the separation of my emotions and the evidence in this case. What on earth would sway a judge? What legal position could a judge potentially take if the jury said he's guilty of rape, but I'm still going to give him 6 months, 3 months for good behavior? What legally could that even go with?
Well, legally, the judge has discretion to give a probationary sentence, right or wrong. Legally, the court has that power, and that is what happened in this case. So it's not as if he abused his judicial powers. He was able to do that, and of course, if the defendant's on probation for three felony counts that he was convicted for, if he does violate that probation, he'd be doing serious prison time. The court is allowed to make that determination. I'm not saying I would have made that determination if I were a judge, but that is what happened in this case.
Okay. Well, on the other side of this is Megan Barth from ReaganBaby.com. Megan, what do you think of that? I mean, it's the judge was well within his rights to hand down a 6-month sentence to this cat.
Well, yeah, you know, that's actually how it works. The judge does have discretion, and he can render a decision that he feels is fair based on not just the accounts that the kid was charged on, which were 3 felonies, all related to sexual assault, but he can take in the other circumstances, like the other guest just mentioned, and forgive me, I didn't catch his name. But here's the problem. You know, the judge may have considered all of the ancillary items like, alcohol and, his studies and the victim statement, but the kid still hasn't learned his lesson.
No, that's a life lesson, yeah.
Especially in his public statements. He says he now wants to tour colleges and talk about sexual promiscuity and alcohol abuse. He does not understand that what he did was not sexually promiscuous. He does not understand that it was just only alcohol related. Alcohol did not pick up the girl when she fell off the ground. Alcohol did not penetrate the girl. He has not taken any responsibility or accountability for his actions. He has not even acknowledged in a public statement or otherwise that I can find that he is guilty of sexual assault, that mm-hmm. he actually committed assault.
Well, here's the thing about it, and at least for me personally, it's as the information begins to come out, as the scenario begins to unfold even more, it does really kind of bring to light what is the other half of the story. We've heard her victim statement, and Adam, I'm not sure whether you've actually gone up and had a chance to read up on it, but we've heard her statement. We've heard her, you took my life, you took my freedom, you took my, right. Me living in my own skin, all this stuff out there. And in the first segment, right before the first break, Megan and I were talking about there is this epidemic in this country where women frequently cry wolf. And sadly, I've personally experienced something like that. Luckily, I was in a position where it could all be proved that, hey, no, that's not mm-hmm. what happened. I wasn't the guy accused of rape, not even close. I was the boyfriend who caught her cheating, and she blamed the other guy for rape. And luckily, mm-hmm. the police were smart enough to look at phones and all that other stuff, so he didn't get anything bad happen to him. But this is a real problem. Does it seem like maybe this could have been like a crazy consensual, or it could have been like, hey, we were drunk, the signs were there, we were outside playing around, and this happened?
I mean, not that I'm aware of. It's my understanding that the victim appeared to be unconscious, and this isn't a case of crying wolf. Of course, it can happen where someone's out of school and there's an allegation, and maybe they get suspended without due process, but this person actually went through the system, right? They had a trial, a trial by their peers, and they were found guilty on 3 counts.
Mm-hmm. Well, Adam, I apologize for not doing this when you first came on. Everybody knows who Megan is because Megan's been on the show before and she's gotten a chance to introduce herself. But Adam, who are you? You're a criminal defense attorney from California is all I was able to give them. What's your background?
Correct. Yeah, I used to be a public defender. I was a public defender in a deputy public defender in San Bernardino County, and then I was an alternate public defender in LA County. After that, I started my own practice, and then separately, I work for another firm I represent bail agents, bail bondsmen, and all kinds of bond-related matters. And I still have my criminal practice. So I've been doing this for a number of years, and I appreciate you having me on the show.
Not a problem. So okay. In your years, I mean, this guy, again, 6 months, judge is well within his prerogative to be able to hand down this. Extenuating circumstances
right.
are alcohol, penetration is iffy, we don't really know, and everything leading up to this. Is there some sort of legal foul play here? Is it really more about the fact that this kid was... maybe it's who his daddy knew, it's who he knew, he got away with raping this young man. And as Megan points out, it's a big deal. He has no idea what he's done. He's clearly not learned the life lesson of no means no, stop means stop, and even if the person can't say no, it still means no. You know, I saw a really great YouTube video about tea. And, you know, it was like, if the person doesn't want tea and you offer it to them, don't force the tea on them. You know, if they're passed out, you still don't give them tea. You know, it's just, it's how it works. But so what's, I'm still not getting it. The judge saw fit.
Well, you can't defend the conduct. And it's my understanding, at least, and I have to look at I'd like to look at the court documents where that the judicial officer relied upon a probation statement stating that the defendant shouldn't get prison time. He weighed that into the calculus and put the fact that he's 20 years old, the fact that, is he going to have any kind of a meaningful life afterwards? And he's going to be a lifetime sex registrant. And the court could make the decision it made. I'm not saying that I would make the same decision. I think the prison exposure time was 14 years. And I wonder what the offer was before the defendant went to trial. As it turned out, it was a good thing for the defendant that he went to trial. He apparently had a very effective defense attorney because this is all he's getting.
Megan, what do you think?
Yeah, I just pulled up the gal's report. I had it saved, the statement. And I just want to read this part that I think would kind of bring this around from her perspective, as well as the sentencing perspective. And this is in her words. I told the probation officer, I do not want Brock to rot away in prison. I did not say he does not deserve to be behind bars. The probation officer's recommendation of a year or less in county jail is a soft timeout, a mockery of the seriousness of his assaults, an insult to me and all women. It gives the message that a stranger can be inside you without proper consent, and he will receive less than what has been defined as the minimum sentence. Probation should be denied. And she ends. I also told the probation officer that what I truly wanted was for Brock to get it, to understand and admit to his wrongdoing. And I think, and she says in this letter in a couple different areas, by where they really didn't have to drag this through the court system. She was actually happy to meet with them, talk to him, look for an apology. She expected an apology. She wanted to get on with her life. She did not want to go through the exposure and the nightmare of a trial that lasted a year. But he and his parents never did that. She said the next thing she knew, there's a high power criminal defense attorney, and she's basically being deposed.
Well, I mean,
and so the handling of this comes, I think, that Brock, who is the perpetrator, might not have learned the right lessons from his parents.
Well,
parents tended to throw gasoline on this fire. Excuse me. By not only criminal defense attorney and dragging this girl through court, but her father also made a public statement talking about basically how athletic his son was and what a rising star his son was and how his life is horrible. It was all about his son. There was no compassion for the victim, not even from his parents.
It does
and
say
so perhaps the apple falls from not
doesn't
far, from,
far
the
from the tree. It does bring more to the table, and it's going to keep this conversation going. We are up against a break, and Adam, I heard you. We're going to get to your question right after this, but don't go anywhere. I'm talking to Megan Barth of ReaganBaby.com and Adam Sostrin, a criminal defense attorney from California, about the Stanford rape case where the kid got 6 months. He's getting out in 3 for good behavior. And we're trying to figure out why. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Facebook people. Yes, I see you. I'm watching you. Comment. Questions below. Go to thecharlestendellshow.com. Subscribe. Follow the iTunes link. I need your help. Go there. Help me to get in the new and noteworthy section on iTunes, because then everybody subscribes and hears the craziness that is the Charles Stendell Show. Go to iTunes. Review it. Give me a couple of stars or tell me that I suck. Do something. Go. Subscribe. Thank you.
This is Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock and investment advisor and financial planner for JF Thompson Wealth Management. Please join me on Denver's Money Talk Radio as we chat about how to protect your investment portfolio and overall financial plan. So listen to me, Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock, 8 a.m. on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 a.m. KDMT, where I coach you on how money really works.
Jeff Thompson, the retirement jock, weekday mornings at 8 on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 a.m. As the school year draws to a close, so many parents are wondering how they'll help their kids occupy their time without the influence of TV, video games, and the internet. This year, consider summer camps for your teen. For a limited time, our Chief Bargain Hunter is featuring a half-priced camper tuition to Chile Camps, located close to home in Estes Park. Activities your teen will experience during their camp stay include hiking, horseback riding, backpacking, whitewater rafting, and so much more. What better way to discover new strengths without outside pressures or expectations than to get out of the city and come camp at Camp Chile. Camper spots are only open for girls ages 12 to 14 and are filling up fast. This summer, come enjoy the fresh Rocky Mountain air at Camp Chile. To purchase, visit summercampbargains.com or just click the Bargain Hunter link on 710knus.com or krks.com. summercampbargains.com. Again, that's summercampbargains.com or just click the Bargain Hunter link on 710knus.com or krks.com.
This is Steve Replin, and I'd like to share a secret. No great business has ever succeeded without a great team. As a lawyer, a CPA, and a lender, I've advised more than 4,000 growing businesses just like yours. My system of fast-track business coaching integrates all of my skills for your business growth. To schedule a complimentary one-hour conversation to see how we can get your business on the fast track to growth, call me at 303-322-7919. That's 303-322-7919.
Now, back to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. We're talking about legal sentences for rape charges, and it's an interesting show, and I'm talking to Megan Barth of ReaganBaby.com and Adam Sostris, a criminal defense attorney from from California. If you've got a question for me or my guest, 303-632-4160. Number again, 303-632-4160. Or you can go over to the CharlesTendellShow.com. There will be links. There will be more context to this conversation over there, or you can find me over on Facebook. If you're already watching, you can comment down below on the video and be interactive. Or if you've got your phone in your hand, you can go over to your favorite app store and download the 1690 KDMT app from your favorite app store and text the show, listen to the live stream, and check out some of the other shows in the 1690 KDMT lineup. So coming back, Adam, you had a statement that you wanted to respond to.
Right. I just wanted to respond briefly because there's always some sort of confusion about this, and it happens all the time. It's not up to the parties whether or not the system goes through the criminal trial. For instance, if the defendant's family and the victim's family had gotten together and there was merely an apology, this wouldn't have gone through the court process is not correct. It's up to the prosecuting agency. Of course they would have filed this case. This was a three-count felony rape matter. Whether or not the victim doesn't want the charge to be prosecuted, that's irrelevant. It still goes through the system. And it's not the defendant's fault that it makes the victim go through the system. The defendant is, in fact, criminally charged. And in our country, the defendant has a right, a Sixth Amendment right, to counsel in the trial and to contest the charges. And that's what happened. This is the way, however we feel about the sentence, this is the way the justice system works. So I that was my only response.
I mean, I understand that.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Megan.
Oh, no, I completely understand that. But I bring that up only because she felt as though she were victimized again, and she's going through this whole process whereby she thought it could be handled outside and on more. And I get the whole justice process, and I appreciate the right. process of justice and what the prosecutor had to do. I think that the victimization, specifically when it comes to sexual assault or sexual harassment or any type of sexual crime, there is a re-victimization when you have to go through the just relive it all again and talk about the violation and talk about the vulnerability. So that was from her perspective. And she made another statement, which I thought was very important, that would be kind of a cause for pause for us to think about. And she said, if a first-time offender from an underprivileged background was accused of 3 felonies and displayed no accountability for his actions other than drinking, what would his sentence be?
No.
Because the probation officer in the report, as well as the father, as well as the defendant, have all talked about his rising stardom as a perhaps Olympic swimmer. He was on a Stanford swim scholarship. He had a whole bright future ahead of him before this, and that should be taken into consideration. And she said, well, look, you know, what if the fact that Brock was an athlete at a private university should not be seen as an entitlement to leniency, but as an opportunity to send a message that sexual assault is against the law regardless of social class.
Now, Megan, it's interesting.
And I just thought that was a good statement.
You're right, you know, but you brought up the what if somebody underprivileged or in a different class had this happen, and this actually did happen right around the same time. There was another young man in Tennessee who was convicted of rape, and there was video and all this other high-speed stuff, and that young man went to jail for 15 to 25 years. And it was also, I believe, 3 counts of rape and, you know, all it was. I haven't finished my research on it yet. And Adam, maybe you know something about it, but
No, I think I would have to do research myself.
Yeah, but he was another young man from, you know, University of Tennessee, I think it was. He got convicted of the same thing. He happens to be black, and he went to jail for 15 to 25 years while Brock here, and the other guy was also an athlete. He was a football star. He was like everybody was saying he was well on his way to having an NFL career or something like that, and he went to prison for 15 to 25 years.
I guess,
and that would be a different.
There's always going to be that question: is there bias in the system? Is there racial bias in the system?
Uh-huh.
And you know, I've been in court in Santa Clara County. I don't know if I've ever appeared in front of this judge before, but my response would be to that issue would be that I don't think it's necessarily applicable to this judge. And the only reason I say that is the public defender's office is supportive of this judge. They find him to be fair. And I know what that means as a former public defender, what that means to be in front of a fair judge. A judicial officer takes everything into consideration. If there were any kind of perceived racial bias, the public defenders would be, the first, you know, agency to respond and to say that this person, shouldn't be a judge. So since we're not getting that from the public defenders, I can't imagine that this has anything to do with racial bias.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with racial bias, and that wasn't Megan's point either. And Megan, correct me if I'm wrong. It was more along the lines of it's a class
privilege.
Thing. It's a privilege thing. If it does at any level have anything to do with the color of the young man's skin, that's a whole different issue. And, you know, I've talked about it on this show. I've talked about it on the spinoff at WTFAmerica.com. It's one of those other crazy things that in this country still exists. But in this particular case, when I first heard it, yeah, it was emotionally charged with all this racism. That's what it was. Everybody was like, oh, it's you know, he's white and he's black. Well, okay, there are 2 different states, Tennessee, California. You can't compare the laws apple to apple. You know, you're going to have to figure out what's going on there. But it does call into question the privilege aspect. If we reverse these two, if we put Brock in Tennessee and we put the other kid in California at Stanford, would this have turned out the same way? Would this kid have had the same advantages? Because dad came out and said he's an Ivy Leaguer all the way. Nothing remorseful. Nothing, you know, I'm sorry that he did this to her. I'm sorry that this is traumatic to her. He's my son, and I can only imagine what this would be like if, you know, if this had happened to my wife. You know, like, he didn't have any remorse. And like Megan said, it doesn't seem like the apple fell from the tree, far from the tree, because dad doesn't care. Dad's more worried about the kid's career and his 20 minutes of action and the rest of his life being ruined. While on the other side, you have this young lady whose life is literally ruined. Her relationships for the rest of her life are going to be a problem. Her relationships with anyone are going to be a problem. And anytime she's in an environment where she's going to feel uncomfortable, it's going to swing much further than anyone else. And, you know, if you hear about soldiers with PTSD, can you imagine what this young lady is going through?
Of course, it's awful, and I don't think any of us can imagine what she's going through. Whether or not, you know, privilege affected the judge's ruling, I don't know. Does it look better to say that you're a, you know, you're a promising student at Stanford University versus a lesser university? Perhaps it does. Are you better off when you're privileged in the sense that you can afford a very expensive attorney who might be extremely effective in court? Perhaps that can make the difference. We just don't know.
Oh, we know that makes a difference.
And additionally, if I may add, the judge has now, with this decision, tainted the jury pool, tainted jury selection, because now the last report I saw was 20 jurors refused to sit on a jury if this judge presides because they have a bias.
And what does it do?
So you tainted the basic jury pool in his immediate area in Palo Alto.
Well, I mean, now you're going to have another precedent that this is going to set is, you know, like Adam said, now I'm a Stanford alum. I'm captain of the swim team. You got a jury who doesn't want to participate because of this cat. So now they're saying that judge needs to step down. But what about the people in the environment who are now going to believe that they can get away with something like this if they just hired the same attorney that this kid got? You know, that's the goal now. It's not to not do wrong. It's not to not do something insanely wrong to someone else and violate a person. Now let's make sure we have the money to go and get the right attorney.
I think if you're insane enough to commit,
you guys are talking over one another.
No, go ahead, Adam. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I think if you're insane enough to commit this crime, I don't think you are the type of person that's going to factor in the decisions that a particular judicial officer makes. And you got to make sure you're in that specific courtroom.
1 minute.
I don't think I really go with that argument.
So you're saying that if you are inclined to go and commit this kind of act, you're not going to, it's not premeditated. You're a criminal, so you're probably not going to think this all through. It's probably one of those things you're going to just do and not really think about.
Exactly. You have no self-control, so I don't think that it matters what this particular judicial officer did.
Okay.
In that respect.
Well, guys, we're up against one more break, so hang out with me. We'll kick it off and come to the conclusion of this one after the break. I'm talking to Megan Barth from ReaganBaby.com and Adam, a criminal defense attorney from California, about this rape case in California. All kinds of interesting stuff. Don't go anywhere. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
People say there are billions of dollars lost in a market crash. The truth is, they're not lost, they just exchange hands. And the good news is, by gaining the right kind of knowledge, you can learn to recognize the opportunities that exist and, more importantly, act on them. I'm Pastor David Mitchell, founder of Tradeway. Along with being an investment advisor, Tradeway offers our students a powerful education so that they can take their investments in their own hands. We break down the confusing world of finance so that you can understand it. We keep it simple, fun, and personal. Come join us at our next two-day event called Step 1, Start Your Journey. You'll learn to take small steps to reach your biggest goals.
Coming to the Embassy Suites Denver Tech Center July 8th and 9th. Only $99.95 for your entire household, plus a free ticket for a friend and a full money-back guarantee. To register, call 877-907-TRADE. That's 877-907-8723. Or go to tradeway.com. That's tradeway.com.
This is Michael Medved for townhall.com. Public school officials in Washington State recently revealed an appalling new program to teach transgender awareness beginning in kindergarten as part of a new curriculum that will leave children even more confused and troubled as they approach puberty. Kindergartners in Washington are now supposed to learn that there are many ways to express gender. Gender identity is defined by the state as someone's inner self of their own gender, not to be confused with gender expression, which is the way someone outwardly expresses their gender.
Fifth is graders he serious?
Are encouraged to identify trusted adults to ask questions about gender identity and sexual orientation, end quote, with no hint here that they might actually look to their own parents as those trusted adults.
It's hard enough for children to grow up in today's highly sexualized, often decadent world, but asking them to begin questioning their own gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation as early as kindergarten is a form of child abuse in the name of sensitivity.
We now return to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Welcome back. I always like the way Donnie plays the music on this show. It's good stuff. It's Friday, and this is the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. I'm talking to Adam Sostrin, a criminal defense attorney from California, and Megan Barth from ReaganBaby.com about what seems to be who you know, not what you're guilty of in our legal system. And guys, right before the break, we were getting ready to clash, or at least coming to an end on all of this, of there's definitely more to it, but and it does seem to be setting a precedent about what people are being taught about personal space in this country and what they can and cannot get away with. And I honestly feel that they're teaching the wrong message, that this whole situation sends the wrong message, that you can get away with this, that you, if as long as you're an Ivy Leaguer and you've got a promising career ahead of you, and enough people write letters of recommendation for you, and you hire the right attorney, and you get a fair judge, air quotes, you can get away with raping someone, instead of realizing or being taught that this is morally, ethically, and legally wrong, and that the consequences should be extreme.
There's no question that is going to be that we have a problem in our society, and of course we want everyone to know that they should be punished for the crimes that they commit. But we can't forget that judicial officers have a role, and they're supposed to be guided by certain legal principles when it comes to sentencing. And we can't have a situation where the public becomes like a hangman to the court. The judge has to be independent and has to be allowed to make the determinations that it deems fit and proper. And unfortunately, we're in a situation where everybody wants a judicial officer that comes highly recommended by the public defender's office. And also the district attorney's office to lose his job. But at the same time, I understand the feelings and the sentiments of the victim that there should be punishment in cases like these. So it's a tough issue, but in a way, it's good that we're all able to talk about it, because we're learning about the judicial process, and we're learning about right and wrong, and why people should get greater sentences versus lesser sentences, and what things matter and what things don't. So I think that's all we can say.
Now, there's also now a call for this particular judge to step down. There's a petition or something being signed where people are saying that he made a wrong call and he needs to remove himself from his position. What do you think of that?
Well, it's my understanding that they may get this. I don't do politics. It's my understanding that this petition may actually get on the ballot, and the judge may be subject to a recall vote. And, in California, judicial officers can be recalled, and if that's what happens, then that's what's going to occur in this case.
Wow. Well, Adam, thank you for coming on the show and giving us the legal perspective. Tell my listeners out there how they can get a hold of you or get involved if they need any type of legal advice out in California.
Sure. Yeah. I'm located in Orange County, and if they have any legal matters, they can check my website at www.sostrinlawoffices.com. That's S-O-S-T-R-I-N, Law Offices, and I'm available to help.
Right on, Adam. Well, thank you again for coming on the show. I'll definitely follow up with you if this story develops and continues to, because it seems like it's going to be huge with him getting out of jail. So, Megan.
Correct. Well, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Adam. Thank you. So, Megan, your take. The judge being told to step down, the precedent that it's setting in this country, that it's not whether you're guilty or not. It's really a matter of whether you can pay to get away with it.
Yeah, and, you know, I like to see that there is a public outcry. I like to see that there was a petition started. But I also would like to see it go through the right channels. And as Adam alluded to, that would be a recall petition. Mm-hmm. So that's really the right way to do it. If there is enough outrage and enough individual will and activism on behalf of the community, then by all means, they'll do everything they need to get to necessary, which I think is, I'm not sure, it's usually 100,000 signatures for a petition to get on the ballot. But they need to gather the signatures, and they need to get this on the ballot if they want a recall. California's recalled a governor before. They can recall a judge.
So you're thinking that this is it. The judge made a mistake. He made a bad call, and he deserves to be removed from all of this. But what was this bad call? The low sentence, the misunderstanding of the information. What do you think? What is it, he gets removed, what does that do? It says, hey, you didn't punish this kid fair enough. We don't want you to have your job. One bad deed now makes you, you know, a victim, makes it, you know, makes you condemned to go do something else. What did he do? What does this actually fix?
Well, according to the petitioners together, that he gave the wrong judgment. He was far too lenient. He's basically opening the door for perhaps future crimes to occur on campuses, or sending the message to campus kids or to others that say, hey, you know, use alcohol as an excuse for your behavior. And that's never how it's been, and it's never how it should be. So if they believe that he has been derelict in his duty of administering the proper justice, then by all means, he is an elected official. They can recall him. And I think, according to the outrage that I see and according to the petition that I know is going around, they will have plenty of signatures to get a recall proposition on the ballot for this judge. And then the people will decide. And I'm sure he'll be recalled.
Let me be a little more clear in my question. You think that recalling this judge is going to solve a problem?
I don't know that it's necessarily going to solve the problem, but I think that it will solve the problem that these folks in the specific community of Stanford and the surrounding community are facing, and they believe that the judge is the problem. And now, as far as, you know, rape is concerned, rape, of course, is a problem and everything that we can do to eliminate. But the message that this judge sends with this sentence is the issue, and the community of Palo Alto has the issue. And so what they need to do is recall the judge if they believe that he was derelict in his duty. As far as a national scale goes, you know, everyone's talking about it. So in one sense, there has been some justice done because this has been elevated to a national outrage and people are outraged. We're talking about it on radio. And so I think the more and more attention that is driven to this case will be really the justice that the case needed to begin with.
Well, Megan, we are about out of time, so I want to give you a chance. Tell everybody where they can keep up with you and ReaganBaby.com.
Well, of course, they can find me at ReaganBaby.com, where I have all my writing and other contributors. I'm on national TV as well as radio stations across the country, and so they can find my schedule on my website. They can go to Twitter at Reagan_Baby, or I know they're on Facebook, so they can go to my Reagan Baby fan page.
Right on. Well, Megan, as always, it's been a pleasure having you on the show and bringing some extra perspective. So thank you for being here.
Yes, no problem, and thanks for having me back, and you guys have a great weekend there.
You too. Enjoy the weekend. Everybody, so that's Megan Barth leaving us from ReaganBaby.com. We've spent most of this hour talking about this rape charge for Brock Turner at Stanford, California, former Stanford, you know, he was a swim team, Ivy Leaguer, all that other high speed stuff. He gets away with raping this young woman. And however the situation came up, whether it was consensual or whatever, he was found guilty of raping this woman and destroying her mentally and emotionally. And she'll be scarred for this for the rest of her life. And he got 6 months in jail and will be out in September on good behavior. So he only ends up serving 3 years. But it seems more along the lines of this had more to do with who he knew, whether or not, or if he was guilty or not. So a couple of things, in my opinion. This sends a message to people that I can get away with it if I've got deep enough pockets, if I've got the right lawyers, if I can rub enough elbows and get enough people to write me positive letters, I can get away with murder. And it's nothing new. We've seen it with celebrities over the years. We've seen it with Justin Bieber, or however you say his name. He wrecked his car a couple of times, and what did he get? A slap on the wrist. And nothing. So it is really about how deep your pockets can be and how much money you can spend on a defense. And you could probably get away with anything. The current outrage is to get rid of the judge. And I say the current outrage is to look at these events more closely and figure out how to, regardless of the amount of money, regardless of the amount of clout, the amount of privilege you have in this country, regardless of the color of your skin or however you want to be discriminated against, it needs to be a justice system. It needs to be a fair and just system. And if you do the crime, you need to do the time. You need to be punished for the things that you're doing. Now, you need to be punished fairly and accordingly, and you need not be subject to having the laws abused, but it works both ways. So if you missed this show, if you missed the first portion of this, you can go over to thecharlestendellshow.com. You can subscribe. If you're watching the Facebook live stream, comment, question, do all that other wonderful stuff down there below and stay interactive. I would love to hear you guys' opinions on everything that's been going on. But while you're over on thecharlestendellshow.com, there is some new stuff going on. And I remember earlier I said to all you tech guys that I was going to take care of you. And I was going to have something for you. I'm doing there's a podcast, a spinoff show to this show called WTF America. And you can find it over on thecharlestendellshow.com. But that show airs Saturday mornings. And you can listen to it over at thecharlestendellshow.com or WTFAmericaNews.com. But this is a story that broke yesterday. And I've got a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to see if I can touch it on it. Hillary Clinton at least seems to be in bed with Google, and Google seems to be manipulating search results in favor of Hillary Clinton. SourceFed, the YouTube channel with 1.7 million followers and no obvious political affiliation, they primarily publish mix of news, pop culture, explanatory videos, makes a claim demonstrating that when a user types in Hillary Clinton and then starts to type another word into the search box, you know, that suggestive search, how if you're typing, it'll guess what you're going to say next. Well, Google appears to be recommending autocompletes that are favorable, only favorable, to Hillary Clinton. So if you type in Hillary Clinton IND, you get India instead of indictment. And this goes on to show trends of people are searching for Hillary Clinton indictment, Hillary Clinton's email, Hillary Clinton scandals, and Google is giving them other stuff, is driving other stuff. And that's insane, because essentially if this turns out to be true, she hacked the internet, and that's a powerful machine that I can't wrap my head around. And I had a whole conversation with my buddy Dennis about this, and that'll be tomorrow on WTF America. So if you're interested, check it out. Go to thecharlestendellshow.com. Subscribe. Go to your iTunes store. Get the app, 1690 KDMT. Stay involved with this show. Listen and learn, hopefully. And if you got questions, stay connected. Hacked@charlestendell.com. I will see you guys on Monday. This is the Charles Tendell Show, 1690.
KDMT, Arvada, Denver.
We're okay.
Money. Denver's all new.
Money Talk.
1690 AM.